This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This Feeding Time podcast is brought to you by Plan B, your go-to joint for a quick fix of great grub and wicked coffee, a new perspective to fuss-free dining. This is Feeding Time. I'm Faye Koo. Joining me on the show this week are Kenny and James, here to talk about their newly revamped but still delightfully pork-centric Bliss Gastro Bar and Restaurant. Do you put any herbs in?
No herbs.
That's it. It's just lots of dried chilies and the squid. I feel like you're keeping a few steps away from me, but you know. Later on, Kenny shares his mother's secret devil curry recipe with us.
This recipe came from my grandma. Growing up, we've seen it cooked every year, you know, during Chinese New Year. This recipe is very complex. It's got a lot of herbs and spices inside.
But first up, here's what I've been eating around town this week. Now, the restaurant of a Japanese chef sommelier with a pronounced penchant for Marilyn Monroe and Spanish and Swiss cuisine has the potential of winding up a big hot mess. But happily, not in the case of Scion, whose proprietor, Masamichi Shiomi, has produced a menu of surprisingly adept elegance, so much so that it's become a haunt for off-duty Japanese restaurateurs. Now that's easy to comprehend why the minute you taste the house salad. Chris Lee's bacon slices are doused with a waffle-esque dressing that's got plenty of umami in spades. It's restrained yet invigorated with complex textures and flavors, and it's a sophisticated, confident creation and well worthy of a foray when you visit. Other standouts at Scion are the pan-fried irinji with butter sauce. Here, the earthy fleshiness of the mushrooms are delightfully intact and paired with shisho leaves for a zingy upswing of flavor. There's also the sizzling teppan hamburger steak comprising a minced beef and pork patty, which is reminiscent, for those of you who know, of Chef Masa's original version when he worked at the now-defunct Akane Indesa Srihatama's, where it has been alleged that sometimes he sold no fewer than 80 servings of hamburger per night. Tongue is also prominently featured at Scion. Choose between the pork or ox tongue. The pork is paired with parmesan cheese for an unusual but intoxicating taste, while the second is slowly stewed in a velveteen wine sauce that's utterly delicious. Chef Masa's preoccupation with Swiss and Spanish cuisine was bound to pop up in the menu. And for the Swiss version, there's this fondue combining the Emmental, Tom and Comte cheeses with a comprehensive array of dipping ingredients that include vegetables sauteed in white wine for a distinctive, wholly original dish. The Spanish are represented by the jamón ibérico, which has as a dance companion mango in lieu of the standard melon. Italy, strangely, is also represented by penne with gorgonzola sauce and also a liberally mentaico-laced spaghetti carbonara. If you have time or the number of people, try also the baguettes with anchovies and hot olive oil, or the chicken sauteed with three kinds of Japanese peppers, or the pork intestine and stomach stew, or even the Japanese oysters marinated with olives for a wonderful, wonderful original taste. Scion Dining & Bar is located at B Bravo 1-16, first floor, block B for Bravo, at Jalan PJU 1A/20A in Dataran Ara Damansara in Petaling Jaya. It's open from Mondays to Saturdays, closed Sundays, between 6:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. and the phone number there is 7840-0623. I'm a massive fan of soups. Always have been, always will be. And that's because soups are the ultimate comfort food, whether you want something to fill your belly with goodness or to nourish yourself when your body's under the weather. Apart from the Chinese soups that we always enjoy, one soup that will endure the test of time has to be the French onion soup. It's robust, flavorsome and cheesy, and it's even better when the onions are perfectly caramelized, as is the case with Beast's version. The trick to concocting a top-notch onion soup is to use the best ingredients you possibly can. And that means not taking shortcuts by using store-bought beef stock, but making it from scratch yourself. A good rule of thumb is to roast your beef marrow bones with the vegetables before you turn them into the stock pot. It takes a little bit more time, admittedly, but it's well worth the effort. Now, carrots, celery, onions, and garlic are perfect candidates for beef stock. The second trick is adding water to the liquid in the roasting pan after you finish roasting the vegetables and the bones, and scraping all the delicious brown bits from the bottom of the pan before adding all that to the stock pot as well for an infinitely richer flavor. And of course, don't forget your herbs. I like parsley, thyme, bay leaves, and whole black peppercorns, but feel free to use even a bouquet garni if you prefer a deeper sensation, a deeper taste. Always make sure you make more than you need, freeze the rest so that you have quality beef stock at hand when the urge to make soup grabs you by the throat. I also like Beast's onion soup because it uses three cheeses rather than just one. This ménage à trois of cheddar, gruyere, and mozzarella is a saucy threesome that heightens the soup no end. Or get inspired by the original version and order it at Beast, which is located at Lot G Golf 01, ground floor at the Intermark at Jalan Tun Razak, where the phone number is 03-2163-5732. In the studio with me today, James and Kenny from the recently revamped and reinvented Bliss Gastro Bar and Desasri Hatamas. Now, before Bliss came about, you, Kenny, were already, you know, running the erstwhile Riblies.
That's right.
Which was a pork-centric restaurant that did a lot of ribs for the last decade. You were a long-time stay in a place that's notoriously short-lived, you know, where people tend to be very fickle. In Desasri Hatamas, there are very few players in Hatamas that stayed on for so long. There was Aoyama, the Green Room, there were you guys, that's obviously sold out. But for many other restaurant owners, it's a very short lifespan because people lose interest. How did you sustain the interest for so long? Do you think it was because you were one of the first pork-serving restaurants there?
Yeah, we've been around for quite a bit. And also, I think because of it's a family-run business, so it was all for the longest time, me and my younger brother, John,
okay,
who is actually the chef, the main chef. We've been very persistent with wanting to make a mark with our ribs.
But back then, when you first opened, obviously, there weren't so many pork rib restaurants
mm-hmm.
around.
Yeah.
There was no Naughty Nuri's, there was no rib shop. Oh, there was the rib shop, but it was not in the same area.
Yeah.
And now it seems that, you know, all these new players have come in. Has it affected things much?
Yeah, the market is, I mean, naturally saturated now.
Yeah. Do you find that with this reinvention that perhaps you're just going to generate a newer interest and also revamp your menu.
Mm-hmm.
So that entered James, who was a shipping lawyer. And I don't know, don't get me wrong, but I was told that shipping lawyers don't tend to go into the F&B business because you have a very cushy life.
Well, we don't have a cushy life, but we do tend to travel a lot. But coming to your point, I think in terms of the revamp of what Ripley's was for 10 years and the revamp to Bliss Gastro Bar, the primary motivation behind that was really to keep up with the times and the competition which has come around with porky sort of places.
Yes.
And in Desasri Hatamas. So the revamp which we've done is to, you know, change the menu, still emphasis on the pork dishes and the quality of the pork dishes, and to make it into a gastro bar as well, where we serve good wine, good whiskies, beer together with the food.
Okay. And you got dragged in, well, you didn't get dragged in, you were voluntarily brought into the business because you were a regular customer at Ripley's prior to this.
Yeah. Kenny and I were schoolmates, so, you know, we've known each other since seven, and I used to go to the restaurant off and on, and one of the things which really attracted me about the restaurant is that it is a first floor premise with a wonderful balcony which you could sit out and look over Hatamas, and a specific spot in Hatamas, which is not overly crowded. You know, it gave you space, it gave you wind. The atmosphere was what really attracted me about the premises. And that's when, you know, we sort of started discussing together and we decided to lend each other a helping hand and try and revamp Bliss Gastro Bar.
Yeah, it does have a very, very nice vista. Best of all is when you're sitting there enjoying a cold drink and a few bar snacks, watching all the poor fools sitting bumper to bumper traffic below you. There's a very distinct sense of smugness and complacence when you do that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's right. And we have private parking downstairs anyway.
Well, there you go.
So for a patron, it's easy enough to park.
Is that right? So you have private parking?
It's a privately run parking for that block The price is about, I think currently...
Eight ringgit.
That's what I did too, yes.
Yes, but it's private. So people, you don't need to park on the street. You don't need to park in the empty car lots, which I think is one of the problems of Desa Sri Altamas is the lack of parking.
Yes. But let's leave the problems of that to DBKL and talk about the, as you said, you know, the whole point is to build a better brand, give yourself a new visibility to the audience that you're after, because in this market, as Kenny was saying, you know, there's a lot of saturation now. Everybody jumped onto the pork bandwagon and suddenly there was an explosion of pork ribs, pork burgers, pork-centric restaurants. Apart from building on the menu that you had before, which was already very good and had a very solid reputation, what are some of the other things that you're hoping to do?
I think Kenny is the god of this, effectively. You know, we've had many discussions of trying to revamp dishes and to come up with new dishes, which we've, as far as we know, there's very little availability in the market. And what we've done is also to include Asian-based dishes in the menu. For example, we have the nasi lemak pork berempah, which is a specialty of Kenny's. We have the squid ink pasta, which is also a specialty. But both these dishes have a specific twist with a little bit of Asian flavors in there. We've got the Maharaja ribs, for example, which has got a tandoori sort of seasoning. So these are sort of the new dishes which we've brought in. And of course, Kenny's been the main player in this and trying to come up with these ideas.
So as a lawyer entering the F&B game, what do you feel you're bringing to the table in terms of this new enterprise? Apart from your deep voice and ability to sell the place very well. Because quite an extensive knowledge of single malts, I understand, and you brought in some quite distinctive and unusual brands to this gastro bar.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've always enjoyed my whiskey, and so have all our friends and patrons. And whiskey, of course, is a real in thing now. What we've tried, but very much of it is dependent on the supplies which we can get. But we've tried to stock our bar with single malts, which are perhaps a little bit more unusual. Some Japanese whiskies. Of course, you get all the usual brands, etc. But we are looking more at the more unusual sort of kind of whiskies, the more unusual types of gin, the ones which are a little bit more trendy, a bit more difficult to get in the market, which are not so common.
Right. So pork-based dishes and whiskey, are they naturally good companions together, Kenny, would you say?
Oh yeah, we have one very special cocktail of roast pork with single malt.
Is that right?
Yep. That one came from Chef James.
Chef James.
Well, it's served on special occasions if requested.
Is
a flambé sous yolk.
Yep.
Oh, yes, that's right. I did hear mention of that. Now, that sounds very exotic, and I'm not sure about the taste. Would you attest to that? So you take the sous yolk,
yes,
and then you flambé it with whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And yes, then you eat it.
Just light it up and
then slide down your throat after that. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
And is this going to become a house specialty?
Oh, when requested, yeah.
So when did you guys have the relaunch? In December, end of last year?
December 10th was our official sort of opening, so it's been about a month.
So apart from having those certain changes that you mentioned before, are there any other things that you're planning to implement? It's a very difficult market to make people remember you. I mean, that's what I was trying to say before, like in Desa Sri Altamas, where restaurants come and go, you know, practically overnight. How is it going to be a point of difference for you to be remembered?
I think one big difference is that we intend to change our menu every 3 to 4 months, every quarter. We won't, of course, change the whole menu, but we are looking at changing a good 50% of it every quarter. So what that makes us different is that a patron who comes to Bliss Gastrobar will always have something new on the plate for that to choose from. Of course, we are going to maintain the pork
specialties,
yes.
You know, and the popular dishes and our specials will be maintained. But there will be a lot of changes. So, for example, we are intending to change the menu after Chinese New Year. And one of the very special dishes which will come up after Chinese New Year is the devil curry, which is also Kenny's heritage, but it's done in his family style. So it'll be a pork devil curry. So that's not currently on our menu, but it will be incorporated very soon together with a revamp of the menu.
I see, okay. That sounds interesting. I think that is a very good way of keeping diner fatigue at bay. Although having said that, you know, there are some restaurants that have served the same menu for 20 over years and they still continue to be very popular. But in a neighborhood as notorious for fickleness as there's a Sri Hartamas, I think that is a very good strategy. But it's important as well to maintain your crowd favorites. So the ones that people like, you know, don't scrub that from the menu because you'll just alienate your customer base. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep. Next up, Kenny will be talking more extensively about signature specials that can be found at Bliss Gastro Bar. This is Feeding Time with Faye on BFM 89.9. Awesome new food like the Malaysian corned beef rendang waffle witch and Christie's crunchy kale salad at Plan B, your new local. You'll definitely not find these anywhere else. This is Feeding Time. I'm Faye Koo. In the studio with me today, James and Kenny from Bliss Gastro Bar in Desert Sri Hartamas, freshly reinvented. We're talking about the challenges of keeping a restaurant that's had such a long pedigree alive and remembered in such a notoriously fickle neighborhood. And apart from the menu revamp and the inclusion of more boutique single malts, there's of course the inarguable fact that Kenny is a master of creating pork-centric dishes with a twist. So it's not just making pork ribs. I've also had the privilege of tasting your food, and I found that the best bits of the menu are the ones where you've taken classics and reinterpreted them in your own inimitable fashion and turned it into something that's very distinctive, very memorable, and supremely delicious. I speak specifically of the nasi lemak babi berempa, which I guess translated is spiced pork nasi lemak.
Yeah.
Now, it might be a bit of a heresy to talk about pork in nasi lemak since it's a Malaysian breakfast dish, but I think in a multicultural country, why not, you know, where people who are pork eaters can enjoy it. And I think what makes your nasi lemak so unusual is that you think that you need a curry to make a nasi lemak, but yet your pork slices are just coated with some spices and then lightly fried, and the flavour is so good. So tell us the thought process that led to you putting this dish together. Okay, you obviously wanted to have a nasi lemak with pork.
Yeah.
I think it's subtle, it's muted, and yet it's so full-bodied and so, I don't know, feisty in the flavour. It really works well for me. So James, what were the impressions it made on you when you first tasted it? Obviously, it must have made some impression because you're now a partner in the business.
Yes, you know, I was very excited to have pork berempa. I mean, you know, everyone's had chicken berempa. I've never tried pork berempa. And just the thought of it excited me. And when the dish arrived and I thought, wow, okay, this is pork berempa. I tried it and it was just wonderful. But I think also the star of that was the sambal. You know, it looked very demure on the plate, you know. And you thought, oh, you know, maybe I need a bit more of this, a bit more of that. But once you mix it in with the nasi lemak and put it in your mouth, it's just heaven. That's Kenny's secret recipe. Well, it's not secret recipe. It's his family's recipe for that sambal, you know.
So the sambal, this much vaunted sambal, Kenny, it's a little sweeter than normal. It's not necessarily as pungent as a lot of others. What's the secret to your sambal?
Oh, we use a lot of different spices. One of the main ingredients in there is the asam keping and all that. So that will elevate the sambal to a whole new level, you know. So it's not so bland, you know, it's got a bit of sharpness to it. So that will complement it very well with the pork and the rice, you know.
Yeah, it's very Moorish, I can tell you that for sure. But the other thing that is also, I think, quite indicative of your skills as a chef who has ability to reinterpret classic favourites, like you have the squid ink pasta. And I remember when I was asked to try the squid ink pasta, I said, man, squid ink pasta, I don't really want to eat more white food, right? But actually, when I finally tried it, it was quite remarkable because it looks like squid ink pasta, but it tastes so uniquely Asian. What were some of the herbs that you incorporated to give it such a distinctive flavour? Because it really is very nice. And I think one of the things about Bliss is that the food is not in your face. It's not like ham-fisted. You don't get punched between the eyes with umami. It creeps up on you. There's a very restrained subtlety to it, but it's still very flavoursome. And I think that's one of the skills that you have as a restaurateur. And I think, I hope you will develop it through the menu and so that customers can see it more evidently. But No escaping, you've got to tell us some of the spices that you put into that paste in your squid ink pasta, because it really is very good.
The squid ink pasta is actually, it's more of the cooking technique. You know, the spices are your regular onions and, you know, dry chili and all that. But it's a very slow cooking dish. You've got to really, really cook it slowly.
The sauce
achieve,
you mean?
Yes, the whole thing, the whole thing to achieve that kind of tenderness in the squid and all that.
For the benefit of listeners out there, it's not really a sauce. It's almost a reduction to a paste. It's almost like a paste in itself because it's been cooked so thoroughly.
Yeah.
So talk us through that whole step because it really is supremely tasty.
Okay. This one, you have to really, really sauté the ingredients.
The shallots.
The shallots, the dry chili, you know, and then you got to really cook it over a long period of time to get the squid to come, the ink to come out from the squid.
On a low flame?
Yes, on a low flame.
Do you put any liquid in as well?
No.
Just
no.
Dry?
Yep.
So you just have it low and slow and then let the ink seep out eventually and that becomes a sauce?
Yes, and until it's nice and tender.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how many hours does that take?
Well, it takes about maybe 2 hours.
2 hours? Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very low flame. It's practically
very low,
a simmer.
Yeah. You have to slowly toomist all the ingredients.
But do you put any herbs in?
No herbs.
That's it. It's just lots of dried chilies and the squid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're keeping a few steps away from me, but you know. Never mind. Nothing. A few more outings to Bliss and a few more serves of your pasta won't divulge to me. Eventually, I will know all your secrets. Currently, you have a menu that straddles a little bit of east and west. Mm-hmm. So you still got your escargots and you still get your pastas. Are you eventually going to phase that out and just have more local food?
Well, I think I think we have to keep some of the favorites, as we talked about this before, and some of the Western sort of cuisine with an Asian twist is, you know, still a favorite of many customers. And I think the idea is to have a balanced menu, but the connecting factor would be the sort of pork element of it. The menu, as we change it, will incorporate Asian as well as Western influences, types of dishes, but maintaining that pork theme.
Okay, well said. On the subject of Western food, I do have to point out for our listeners that they need to keep some room and be a marathon runner, not a sprinter, because the dessert that absolutely requires to be devoured and then the plate licked thereafter is the Oreo ice cream cake, which was foisted upon me, and I said, no, I don't like desserts. I'm not a dessert person. And then I proceeded to demolish it because it was disgustingly good. So for everyone out there who's listening, make sure you try the Oreo ice cream cake. Is this one special that you've had even when you were running Ribley's? Was this
always
a signature dessert?
It was always one of the top customer favorites after their meal.
So I guess ice cream and cookies, why not? It's cookies and cream. When did you just think, okay, that pairing, and we'll try it, and then we'll cover it with chocolate and immerse it with everything that's sinful? Was it a recipe that you developed yourself?
No, this recipe was developed by John, my brother.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we've always stuck to it because, you know, it's always been everybody's favorite.
Great.
And it takes one day to make it.
It takes a whole day to make it and 10 minutes to finish it off.
Yep.
Okay. Kenny, you said you would share with us also your devil curry recipe for our listeners at home. So please, at your leisure.
No, the devil curry, actually, this recipe came from my grandma. Growing up, we've seen it cooked every year, you know, during Chinese New Year. This recipe is very complex. It's got a lot of herbs and spices inside. It's very painstakingly long to do. You know, so we've got stuff like dried chili, you know, shallots, serai, lengkuas, kunyit, and you've got to really, really slowly saute this dish, you know, to get all the flavors out.
Then so you take all these elements that you've talked about together with the shallots, and you saute it over a low heat?
Over a low heat. And
to bring out all the flavors and the aromas.
And another one of the secret ingredients we put in there is actually mustard.
Mustard seeds or mustard?
No, American mustard.
Oh, so the fake kind of mustard. I'm just kidding. So American mustard, how much you put? A couple of tablespoons?
Yeah.
Okay.
Depending on the quantity. Okay. So you got to adjust all this, you know, so that would give it sort of a sharpness So it's a very different kind of curry, whereby it's a little bit sourish at the end, and it's got to be very hot. If it's not hot, then it's not devil
spicy
curry.
Spicy hot.
It's got to be super hot.
So once you've sautéed the shallots and the spices to release the aroma, what next?
Okay, we put in the dried chili paste, okay, which you have to boil and blend it to a very fine paste. And then again, you have to sauté that, you know, and then about, say, half an hour later, you add in, say, for a whole 1 kilo of meat, you know, you add in about a little of water.
A liter of water.
A liter of water. And then you got to just check for the consistency.
So once it's you added the water to this pot, you bring it to a boil and then you reduce it.
Yeah. Slow cooking to tenderize the meat.
Okay.
You got to check about maybe an hour later. I think the meat should be just fine and then you're good to go.
Okay. So a total cooking time would be about what? 2 hours for a dish like that?
Mm-hmm. Around there.
Remembering that when you're cooking good food, there's no shortcuts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Kenny. Alternately, you can just head to Bliss Gastro Bar to try the real thing if the two-hour cooking process is a little bit arduous for you. Bliss Gastro Bar is located at...
Desa Sri Hartamas, Wisma CKL. It's just on top of Al Raji Bank. It's Jalan 23/70A.
Okay, and you can park inside in the building where there are allocated spots. It is on the first floor. It's open daily from?
4:30 till late.
Till late. And the phone number there is?
0362-010-180.
Okay, go check them out. Thank you very much, guys. Big thank you to Kenny and James. If you want to find out what Bliss Gastro Bar is giving away this week, don't forget to follow us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/BFM Feeding Time. Or follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Miss Koo. That's MISSKHOO for more information about the show. We hope you've enjoyed this week's Feeding Time. Till next Saturday, this has been Feeding Time with Faye on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.